What I'm going to do in this next 1 hour is to throw lots of ideas about scripture memory at you. 5% of what I throw at you will be relevant. The other 95% is just pieces of paper. So don't worry about the things that you don't understand. If you can get, I'll probably be sharing about 100 ideas in scripture memory. If you can get 5 that is useful to you, that will be quite good. The first person who got me started in scripture memory was a person called Jake Combs. I did not know the Navigators then, but I went to a Scripture Union conference in 1964, and there was this speaker there called Jake Combs. Jake Combs was in Taiwan, Singapore for a while, and in Taiwan, some of you may know him. And Jake Combs spoke a few messages. This were the Navigator basics. He spoke on the word hand, the prayer hand, the wheel illustration, the illustration of multiplication, 2, 4, 8, 16. And what Jake would do, he would come to his meeting, he would take his notebook, put it at the end of the room, and then he would give his message without notes. And he would quote all his verses, word perfect. One time he asked somebody to read a verse, and the person read the verse, and it was John 14:21 or something. And Jake said, you read the wrong verse, that was John 14:23. Can you read John 14:21? So I was very impressed with Jake Combs. So I went to see him after his message and I asked him, are you from the Navigators? He says, yeah, you heard about the Navigators? Yeah, I got this little booklet called Beginning with Christ. So he says, have you memorized the verses? I said, yes. Can you quote them? So after this camp, I decided that I was going to memorize verses. And I took my John's Gospel and I underlined about 100 verses. And I decided to memorize these 100 verses. And I told a friend of mine in my church that at the end of these 2 months, I'm going to memorize 100 verses. And he says, no, I don't believe you. Okay, at the end of these 2 months, you check my 100 verses. If I don't get the 100 verses, I'll buy you dinner. And if I get it, you buy me dinner. He says, okay. So I got my dinner. And that was my first 100 verses. And then I started on the TMS. This was the old TMS, 108 verses. And I didn't finish it. Went halfway. 1966, I went to the University of Malaya, and I met Jim Chu. And Jim began to help me in my scripture memory. Every Saturday, I would go to his house, and he would check my verses. And gradually, I began to improve in my scripture memory. And during my university days, I remember, after I failed my exam in the first year, being very disciplined in my timetable, and I used to give 1 hour every afternoon, half an hour to scripture memory, half an hour to prayer. And I would follow it most afternoons. And that was very helpful. And in those years, 1967 to 71, I got my first 1,000 verses. Then I left the university and I taught in a high school and I began to have very strong ambitions about scripture memory. One ambition I had was to memorize the whole New Testament and the Psalms and Proverbs. So I planned a timetable that would take me until I was 70 years old to finish the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. So I began, and I finished the book of Romans. Then I was going on to the Gospel of John. And then I resigned from my work and got in the Navigator staff, and they sent me to Australia for cross training. So in 1974, I was in Canberra, staying with Franklin Elliott. And In Canberra, the NAF ministry begins at about 7 o'clock in the evening, finishes about 2 o'clock a.m. in the morning. Then you sleep. Then the whole day you're free. So I review my verses. Then I began to get problems. I found that every time I reviewed my verses, I would take about 1 hour because I didn't know them. So it was very frustrating. Then one day Franklin Nellett asked me, why do you memorize scripture? So I gave him the three navigator reasons. victory over sin, fellowship with God, and ministry. He says, oh, that's very nice. Okay, now why do you memorize scripture? I just told you. So those are from the TMS guidebook. Why do you memorize scripture? So I went back and I began to think why I memorize scripture. And I realized that the real reason why I memorize scripture was for the ministry, to get ministry verses. I think different people have different reasons for memorizing scripture. So I took my box, 2,000 verses at that time, and went through, and I found that a lot of verses that I memorized were not very helpful in the ministry. And many of them I didn't know very well. So I took the waste basket, and I began to throw verses from my box, the waste basket. I threw about 1,000 verses. 1,000 verses. And the other verses in the box I knew quite well, and were quite good for the ministry. So after that, it was a great, like a burden of sin was lifted, you know. And then I came back from Australia, and since 1974, really I have not had a problem in scripture memory. The reason is very easy, because I've lowered my standards for scripture memory. I really only have one objective in scripture memory, and that is to get my back review sharp, that's all. I still memorize a few verses on and off according to how I feel. But every year, I think I would memorize about 15 new verses. So at the end of the year, in December, I will check my 50 verses, which are already in my box, and I will throw away another 50. So every year, my box remains 1,000. 50 new ones come in, 50 new ones, 50 old ones go out. So this is, for me, has been very liberating. So I enjoy my scripture memory because the verses are quite sharp. I don't have problems. Okay, let's look at the paper now. And let me go through a few hindrances, which I think are basic hindrances that many NAF staff face that prevent us from going on in scripture memory. This is the blue one. We'll look at the blue one first. How to keep us going in scripture memory. Now, the first thing, I hope some of you are not angry with me because I said scripture memory is not commanded in the Bible. Maybe it's a little strong. The Jews were exhorted to know the scriptures very well. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, they were supposed to know it so well that they could talk about them when they sat down for coffee, and when they walked in the garden, and when they lie down, when they get up. So the Jews memorizing the law was a part of their life. And Jesus memorized scriptures, Paul memorized scriptures. So it seems to be a good thing, but I think it's difficult to legalize scripture memory. That means make it a law. Thou shalt memorize scripture. It's difficult to say that from the Bible. There are many more verses on helping the poor than on scripture memory. So, if scripture memory is not really commanded in the Bible in the way that the Great Commission is commanded, or helping the poor is commanded, then why is it that many navigators feel a little guilty about our lack of ability in scripture memory? And I think the reason is that we have a standard in our life on scripture memory. This standard may be something that somebody gave you, or the navigators gave you, or maybe something that you gave yourself. And now God didn't set the standard. You set the standard. And then we can't meet the standard, and then we feel guilty. Now when there is a standard in my life that God didn't set, and I feel guilty about it, it's what we call false guilt. No, not true guilt. True guilt is when I sin, and the Holy Spirit convicts me of sin. That's true guilt. So sometimes we have a false guilt about scripture memory standards, which we set, or the navigator set, or our leader set. And I think if you can't meet your standards of scripture memory after many attempts, just lower your standards. Very easy. Just lower your standards. It's not sin. It's you become more effective. Now, what is commanded in the Bible, about the Bible? Well, we are commanded to study the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to God, 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, long, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Verses like this talk about our intake of the Word, and doesn't talk necessarily about quiet time or scripture memory or Bible study, it's just your intake of the Word. You know, I was reading George Mueller's the man of God, that small one. I think George Mueller didn't memorize scripture. I got to check with the expert, Warren Myers. But George Mueller just read the Bible, and when he came to a verse that he really felt he could stake his life on, he would meditate on the verse, and then he would try and practice it. I think he didn't do Bible study the way we did Bible study, or memorize scripture the way we memorize scripture. But I think he was fulfilling the commandments in the Bible about meditating and studying the Word. Alright, number two. Many navigators memorize scripture verses not because of the quality of scripture, but because of the quantity of verses. So we need to re-examine why we memorize scripture. Most of us, when we started memorizing scripture, somebody gave us a big push from the back. And this push takes us through the TMS and about 200 verses more. Your team leader or your person who's following you up or your navigator ministry, they give you a big push. So this push takes you through the TMS and then another maybe 200 verses or so. Then after that, you stop. No more push. By that time, you are somewhere else. You're not in the navigator ministry. You're somewhere else, some of our graduates. And so they stop memorizing scripture. And for some of us, later on, after the push, when we have a few hundred verses, and you are working, and you have increased ministry responsibilities, and you have two children, other people's reasons are not enough to push you. You have to get your own reasons. Otherwise, what happens is that you have an emotional attachment. That means that you worship. You have an emotional attachment to a pack of cards. You know this pack of cards, pack of verses in your box? It's almost like you're worshipping them. My wife and I have moved house twice in 4 years. We're moving again this February. And each time we move house, you know, it's very difficult. We've got lots of things to move. But we found that one thing that is helpful, whenever we move house, we find a lot of rubbish is collected, which we don't need. And we throw away a lot of things whenever we move house. So now whenever we move house, we rejoice because we throw away lots of more things. Now, similarly, we have different phases in our life. And as you move from one phase to another phase, you throw away the rubbish that you accumulated in that phase, which is not very relevant to the next phase. And a lot of scripture memory verses that we memorized when we were younger are not very relevant where we are now, changing ministry needs or whatever. So, just throw them away. fire hazard. You know. So keep your box of verses flexible and functional, and not something to decorate your house. Thirdly, before we harvest more crops, we need bigger barns. So before we can memorize or acquire more new verses, we need adequate housing for the old ones. And so, we need to perfect our back review system. This is the problem. You want to memorize scripture, new verses, then you think, oh, if I memorize new verses, I got to put them in a box. And this box is full of problems. So this is a big discouragement to memorizing new verses. So to solve your problem in scripture memory, don't talk about new verses. Let's look at the problem here in the box. So you take your box. Half of the box is a problem, the other half is not a problem. So you take away the half that is the problem. Yeah. Now you don't have a problem. And now you have a box where all the verses in the box are verses that you like and you know well. And so you review these verses and they are a great encouragement to you. And so we need encouragement, not problems. So afterwards, when we talk about back review, we will see how to remove your problems. Number four, the standard of scripture memory among disciples and disciple makers in the ministry is usually in proportion to the leader's efforts. It is very difficult to make people excited about something if you are not excited. Howard Hendricks says, if you want people to bleed, you must hemorrhage. That means if you want people to bleed a little bit, you have to bleed a lot. And in most navigator ministries, if the leader, the ministry leader, is not memorizing and therefore not excited, usually most of the followers are also not excited about scripture memory. So that's just an observation. All right, let's look at the white sheet. This is a little survey that I did a few days ago with the team leaders and the assistant team leaders. And they were asked to list 2 to 3 hindrances that hinder them from continuing in scripture memory. You know, some of you have memorized the excuses that I will wait till tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow. I am too great a sinner. Christ came to die for sinners. This is a navigator staff excuses pack. eighteen excuses. So the only thing we have to do now is to find verses for each one of them. Then we put it into a pack. Sell it at the NSI. Let me make some comments about some of these reasons. First one, too busy. Some of the other variations. Other more important things to do. No time. Disrupted schedule. Example, NSI conference. increased family and ministry responsibilities. Focus on Bible study and prayer. Scripture memory not urgent. Just a few comments. I think if you have a lot of things to do, you have to prioritize them, which is more first important, second important, third important. And if scripture memory is not a strong priority, reduce it, bring it down to something simple that does not take much time or effort. And I think the back review plan that I give you afterwards will do that for you. Scripture memory does not take much time or effort for me. And then somebody suggested there that, you know, we've got Bible study, we got prayer, we got quiet time, and then we got scripture memory. So scripture memory is the one that gets left out. I think that we have to figure out our individual balance between Bible study, scripture memory, and quiet time. You know, in the word hand, here, read, study, memorize, meditate. Really, I think the three that are the most important are the study, memorize, meditate. Read, study, and memorize. Read, study, memorize. Meditate, we meditate on everything, and we try and apply everything. So the three most important methods of taking in the word is read, study, memorize. Warren Meyer said something about this some years ago that has helped me. He says, you read the Bible to keep yourself healthy. You study to make yourself strong. And you memorize to make yourself effective. So I thought that was very good. Bible reading of quiet time, Bible reading keeps you healthy. Bible study makes you strong. And scripture memory makes you effective. And you need all three. It's like a sportsman, an athlete in training. An athlete in training, you know, every athlete in training has to run cross country. Even if you are playing basketball or volleyball or table tennis, if you're playing basketball or volleyball or table tennis and you are in the national team, you still have to do cross country because that gives you your basic stamina. Bible reading keeps you healthy. And then you have to do weights. So if you are playing badminton, where you use your wrist a lot, they'll ask you to take a stick, tie a string, put a stone there, then you got to wind the stone until your wrists are very painful. That's gives you strength for your wrist so that you can play badminton. See? If you are throwing the javelin, they will bring you to the gymnasium, and there is this what do you call this? Not bulwark, a chest expander. They tie one to the wall, and then you do this. So that you strengthen the muscles that are used for throwing the javelin. If you are a sprinter, 100 meters, then you take heavy weights that will strengthen your legs so that you can sprint. Well, Bible study gives you strength. Then, you get stamina, you have strength, you also need skill. So if you're playing basketball, then you actually have to play and learn how to pass and this kind of things. If you are running the mile, 1,500 meters, your coach will bring you to the field and with a stopwatch and try and pace yourself so that you do each round in about 1 minute or something. And then teach you a little bit of strategy on how to win races. So those are skills. So an athlete needs stamina, strength, and skill. And a Bible student also needs stamina, strength, and skill. You get stamina through Bible reading, you get strength through Bible study, and you get skill through scripture memory. But each of us has to figure out the balance in each of these three. Some people memorize more than they study. Some people read more than they memorize, etc. Okay, number two, not disciplined enough. Some people are a little bit more honest and they say lazy. Now, of course, if a person is not disciplined in everything in his life, then he has a problem. And the problem is sin. But if you find that there are some things in your life that you are disciplined in, and other things that you are not disciplined in, most probably you're not lazy. Maybe you're trying to do too much in those other things. So the question is not, are you disciplined in scripture memory? The question is, how are you using your time? So that you have a balance between scripture memory, Bible study, and reading. Number three, Memorizing in a second language. Some of us here are missionaries, and we go to another country, and we begin memorizing in a second language. And we don't know how much, whether we should memorize all our verses in a second language, or half in a second, half in English. I've never been in another country, so I'm going to ask a few people, a few of our missionaries here, who have had some experience in that, to share a little bit. Ask Kim Tok first, and then Ming Chong, Marcia Elliott, and Wayne. If you could just stand up and take a few seconds to share some things that you are doing. Okay, hold on. Did you hear that? Okay, a little slower.
My objective is to minister in an Indian language as fast as possible. So, my speech memory is a heavy dose of Indian language. But I know that at the same time, my language of the heart is English. So, I have to maintain my English.
So you throw away a number of your English verses?
Yeah, I threw a lot.
You must have about 50 now? That's about the TMS. Okay, Ming Chong?
When I first went to Taiwan, in that sense, I have to pay them because I was doing the ministry. So that's what I did, memorizing in China, together with the people in the ministry. So I continue that, and until this time, I still do that. At the same time, I still keep English verses that I memorized long time ago. That was started by David Bok. So in the beginning stage, it was a bit harder to memorize in Chinese. But you get word perfect, you finish the TMS, word perfect, things like that. It's quite an accomplishment and encouragement, actually. So I do both.
Do you review your English verses?
Yes.
Okay, Marcia?
At this stage in my life, when I became foreign missionary, I tried to do both. I memorized for food for my soul, basically, and yet I know that I knew that I needed it in second language. And as I began to minister in a second language, I, of course, did the TMS and had many struggles through this in keeping both going. And then I became what I felt fluent enough in the second language to memorize only in that and have quiet time. And so I began only in my second language memorizing in. Quiet time, and then I began to experience a dryness in my spiritual life, and when I evaluated that, I realized that I needed something to continue to feed my soul, so I went back to the verses in English in my mother tongue that feed my soul, and then maintain ministry verses in my second language. And as the ministry changes, I realized there's a different level that changes in my memorizing also in the second language, so that continues to expand also.
Just one observation there. I think that out of Bible study, future memory, and quiet time, you have to figure out which is the one that really feeds your soul. For some people, it may be Bible study, some it may be just reading the word, some it may be scripture memory. For me, I think it's Bible study first, quiet time second, and scripture memory third. So I think for me, I have not been a missionary, but if I were a missionary, probably I would throw away my scripture memory, my English verses, just take my box and throw it away, and then begin memorizing in the a second language. But I've never done it before, so I don't know. That's what I think I will do. Wayne?
I think excuse me.
Okay, the first few verses were mostly rote memory. I didn't understand what the verse said. I just memorized it song by song. And today, those are the verses I have the best. So I think it would be good to start as early as possible. Now, right now, I do all my memory work in, my new verses are all in Japanese. Sometimes I write the English on the back, and it's by chance I learn it in English, great, but mostly just in Japanese right now, or all in Japanese.
Okay, thank you. Number four, too many rusty verses. We'll go into that afterwards in the back review. Number five, no one to check my verses. Get married. My wife really helps me a lot in checking my verses. Sometimes we get a lot of visitors in my house, and each visitor has to check my verse. Number eight, jump to number eight, lack of meditation. Just a little observation. Sometimes meditation doesn't come immediately. You memorize a verse, and 6 years later, you meditate on it. So I think we can't expect to meditate on every verse that you memorize. Sometimes you just have to memorize and store it in your heart, and then the Lord uses it at some situation that needs it, and then you begin to meditate on it. Next page. Changing versions. I suppose most of you face this problem, English, when there was the changeover from King James to RSV, and now you're facing another problem from RSV to NIV. I suppose the best thing to do would be to memorize your verses in the version that you use for Bible study. I have most of my Old Testament verse, half of my Old Testament verses in King James, which I began many years ago. I don't find it a problem because I like English, and King James is nice. Except sometimes you quote the verse, and then you explain it. So those verses where you have to quote and people stare at you, then you explain, change those verses. But there are many versions which have very nice ways of expressing the word, like Romans 12:2, Philips, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Sounds much nicer than do not be conformed to the world. So I memorized quite a number of verses in Living Bible and Philips, especially because they have a very nice way of putting it. Number 10, can't get it word perfect? Quite easy, just change the words. John Crawford told me this, so I was quite shocked. He said, well, you know, if it's a word, each, every means about the same thing, and you keep on saying every when it's each, just cut the each and put every. It doesn't really matter. It won't affect your spiritual growth. It'll probably make you more effective. It's not sin. But of course, if the words that you cannot get word perfect are important words that make a difference, then you should get them word perfect. I mean, you have no choice. But a lot of my verses I have cancelled, and Jesus said, just cancel it. I mean, what's the point of memorizing that one? I most of my mistakes in my box is from those verses. Jesus said unto them, and Jesus called them to him and said, cancel. Number 11, not using my verses. Well, I suggest you can throw some of them away. Thirteen, varying, changing ministry needs. Memorize verses relevant to your ministry needs. This year, I'm doing a few Bible studies on ministry issues that I face, like the role of women and equipping and things like this. So when I do a Bible study, then memorize those verses from the Bible study, and that's helpful because it helps me in my ministry. 14. Bad choice of verses, throw them away. Found you chose a verse 6 years ago which you think is a bad choice, so just throw it away. Very easy. Number 15. No simple system of topics. And I've talked to a number of people on this, and most people feel that the best way to arrange your verses is not topically, but chronologically. That means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right, to Revelations, and not excuses, Holy Spirit, victory, salvation. Because when you grow, as you grow older, your topics keep changing. As you know more of the Word, you find that your topics keep changing. And then, you know, it's not good to arrange according to topics. Number 16, bad memory. This is an excuse. Actually, if you say you have a bad memory, you've already defeated yourself in scripture memory. If you say, you know, auto-suggestion, I can do it, and then you do it. If you say, I cannot do it, I have a bad memory, you know, then you will have a bad memory. So if you want to memorize scripture, don't say you have a bad memory, because you fight against yourself. Alright, those are some of the more important ones. Let's go on now to the blue sheet B. How to keep us going in scripture review. This is the thing that I would like you to do during the discussion period. So you don't have to discuss, you don't have to report. No need to take notes during your discussion period. Just do this. B. How to keep us going in scripture review. Number one, go through all your verses with someone checking and weed out or throw out all the verses that you do not know word perfect. You don't have to throw them out. You just put them somewhere else. Don't put them in your box. Put them somewhere else. Now, afterwards, when you check verses, the purpose is not checking verses. The purpose is to find out the verses that you don't know word perfect. So you can take quite fast. For example, if I'm checking Raja, and I ask him, Hezekiah 3:11. And he says, okay, wrong. You know? So he doesn't know the verse. If wrong. I just take the verse, put it at one side. Or if he says, he quotes the verse, and then halfway he thinks, and, you know, it's obvious he doesn't know the verse word perfect. So don't waste time, just take the verse and... So the purpose of the checking is not to check your verses, it's to find out the verses that you don't know perfect and take them out. So it should take very fast. Well, if there's nothing left, at least you know where you stand. Now, of course, if one or two words are wrong, which doesn't alter the meaning of the verse, you know, I'm not a purist. That means perfectionist. I think it's okay. Word perfect means 98%. That's my standard. So if your standard is 105%, then you throw away all your verses. So go through all your verses with someone checking and throw away, or take out, not throw away, take out all the verses that you do not know word perfect. Number two, copy out the whole TMS, or buy another set. Buy another TMS set. Now you have two sets. You have two TMS sets in your box. The reason is that in most of our ministries, the TMS is a basic tool that we use all the time. So we need to keep the TMS in our box, firstly as the TMS, and then secondly, all the verses are mixed up according to their order in the Bible. So I have two sets. 3, rearrange all your back review verses chronologically. Chronologically. By the order in the Bible. So, now this is what you have. You have your TMS. I hope you know your TMS. You have your TMS. Then you have another TMS which you bought. And then you have all those verses which you know word perfect, which may be 3 or 4. And then you put all that together, and then you begin to arrange them in your box. And the TMS you arrange according to the topic. So A, B, C, D, E. The other verses, the second TMS, plus the other verses you know word perfect, you arrange them according to the order in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right until Revelations. And turn the page. So look at that number 4 there. So for example, if you had about 400 verses, your box would look something like this. Day 1, 5 assurances. Or this is if you use the beginning with Christ. And as a basic tool, you can put that there. So you're beginning with Christ and a TMS A and B. Second day, TMS C and E. Third day, Genesis to Job or Genesis to Deuteronomy or whatever. As long as they are about the number of verses there. I went ahead. Let's go to number 4 first. Decide on a regular period to finish your back review. I suggest 2 weeks for below 400 verses. Because if you only have 100 verses, 1 week is okay. You know, 15 verses a day. If you had 400 verses, that's about 20. How many verses a day? And so divide your verses into 14 days. Divide your 400 verses into 14 days. Or if you have a lot of verses, I have 1,000 verses, I divide it into 30, 1 month, so that I finish my back review once every month. And I have the days of the month, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right until 30. So today is day 24, so I take, during my quiet time, I take out the day 24 verses, which I know word perfect. I take about 5 minutes to review them. But if you have less verses, then you don't have to take 1 month, take 2 weeks. If you finish the review for the day as part of your quiet time. See, scripture memory, scripture review is difficult to be a habit. So the secret is to link it to another habit that you already have. Most of you have quiet time. So you link your back review with the quiet time. Don't do it after the quiet time, do it before. Because if you do it after, you won't do it. Do it before the quiet time. Finish it first, then have your quiet time. And if you have followed the instructions, your verses will be quite good, word perfect. So it will not take you very long, 5 minutes. And so, or you can get the verses checked during your man-to-man time or Bible study discussions or over breakfast, something. And then keep this up for 3 months. After 3 months, you will feel so good about scripture memory. Because you have all your verses word perfect, and you know them, and you have a review system. Now you turn to memorizing new verses. And you take all the verses which you have taken out of your box, and you look at them, and some of them are not worth memorizing, so you throw them away. Some you want to keep, but you memorize them again. You re-memorize them. So you take this verse, which you have taken out of your box, and you memorize again, and you already know half. Big encouragement. You already know half of it. So it will take you quite fast to memorize it. And then you put it in your current review, back, review it for 6 weeks until you overlearn it, and then put it back into your box. Three minutes for questions. Is that clear? So during the discussion group time, pair up. You should probably pair up into same language groups. No. I can't check my roommate's first is Korean, so he has to pair up with another Korean. So pair up in language groups and then do this. So there's no discussion. Just checking verses. Now is the discussion time. Alright, let me just cover a few more things. For some of you whom scripture memory is not a problem, what are some possible goals in scripture memory? Well, you can have the goal that a man called Wilbur Smith had, which was to memorize the whole Bible. This man, Wilbur Smith, memorized the whole Bible and the New Testament in two versions. So I think that most navigators can't do that because we have given our life to raising laborers. So that's one possible objective for if you're not a navigator. Little less ambitious is to memorize books, chapters. I think the team in India are memorizing verses from the Bible survey. So if you're ever doing a survey of the whole Bible, memorize key verse from each book. And not only the key verse, but you can also memorize the background so that you can stand here without notes and give a Bible survey just from the verses you've memorized. I like to memorize chapter outlines. If I've done a good Bible study, good chapter outline, memorize the chapter. I prefer to memorize the chapter outline than to memorize the whole chapter. I find it more effective for ministry. And since my reason is ministry, it makes sense to memorize the outline rather than all the verses. If I have time, I can memorize the verses, but I don't, so I memorize the outline. Some of you may want to get a doctrinal handbook, a handbook of doctrines. Then just go through the doctrines and then pick verses so that you have a balanced selection of doctrinal verses, which are more helpful to other people than the verses that you choose for your quiet time to memorize. Or you can have a very low goal that I have, to get my back review sharp. That's my only goal in scripture memory. How to decide which goal you want? Well, you ask yourself, what motivates you about scripture memory in this stage of your life? What motivates you about scripture memory in this stage of your life? And if you answer that question, it will determine how much you memorize and how you select your verses. Your reason for scripture memory determines your selection and the quantity of verses. All right, let me close with two challenges. One challenge is, some people suggested this to me, is to get your back review organized and checked during the NSI. You won't have time during the discussion period, but do it during the NSI and get 100% before you leave the NSI. It's not very difficult to get 100% because you throw away all your verses. 100%. The idea is to let the NSI give you a big push so that when you get back, it will be a help to you. I am doing this for my physical fitness. My physical fitness has gone down in the last 1 year. So I'm really looking forward to all the jogging times once in 2 days, so that when I get back, my physical fitness has got a good start. You can do that for scripture memory also. Let the NSI give you a good start in your back review. Another challenge, and I'll close with this, Finally, open the Bible. Just turn to two passages, two glimpses into the life of Jesus. One is Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Now this was Jesus at the age of 12 in the temple. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. At 12 years old, Jesus was seated among the teachers of Israel, listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus went where the wisdom of Israel was, or supposed to be. He went to the temple where all the scribes and priests were, and he went to get wisdom. He learned to listen at the age of 12, and he learned to ask questions. Now, most people don't ask questions unless they have been thinking through the issues. So you think through, you got a problem, you're going to ask the question. That means Jesus was thinking and meditating on the word, on the law, at the age of 9, 10, 11, and 12, and he already had some questions to ask. So he would go to the scribes and Pharisees and ask, who wrote Genesis? How do you know? This kind of questions. And so, of course, this question did not come in a vacuum. They came as a result of Jesus' thinking process. He was thinking and meditating on the Word of God to the point where he was preoccupied. He was always thinking about it. And so when he went to Jerusalem, he would go to the place where all the answers were, or supposed to be, and he would ask questions. Jesus' attitude to the Word of God. Next one is Matthew chapter 4. The temptation in the wilderness. And I'll close with this. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. In fact, the three quotations that Jesus gave were from Deuteronomy chapter 8, the first one, and chapter 6, the second and third one. If you look at Deuteronomy 8, and we won't turn to it, you will find that the man shall not live by bread alone was given in the context of Israel wandering in the wilderness. So Jesus must have read through Deuteronomy, looked at this verse, thought about the context, thought about the principle. The principle is that the Word of God is indispensable. That means we need it more than we need, as much as we need food. Without it, we will die. So Jesus decided on the principle, and then he thought about the applications. And so when Satan came and gave him the temptation, the verse came quickly. It wasn't because the verse had a topic on it called food. You know, it was because Jesus had meditated on the verse and thought through all the possible applications and all the situations that it could be used. So when the situation came, he gave the verse. Notice that Satan did not say, but how do you know that the Deuteronomy is inspired? Or something like that. Satan did not, there was no back talk. No argument. The last word is spoken when God is quoted. It is decisive. And in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, 3 to 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So, Because Jesus had mastered the weapons of spiritual warfare, the word and prayer, he was consistently victorious over Satan. And as we make this effort to master the word of God through study and through reading and through memory, we will be strong, and the word of God will abide in us, and we will overcome the evil one.